All I heard was Grixis Control, and apparently it's just wild. I'm like, oh yeah, fuck, they're playing Four Brains or Man Four Ponder. Get the fuck out of here. Holy shit, they've got lightning bolts.
Came so easily, but then they dealt five. I had so many chump blockers, but that dragon flies. I'm just trying to draw a pyro, and you know why?
Why, man?
Because I'm rook tied, because I'm rook tied, because I'm rook tied. Here I am trying to race with a goblin guide. Thinking I have a chance if I can go wide. But then there's two tapped islands on the other side.
Why, man?
Oh, it's a Murk Tide. Oh, it's a Murk Tide. Oh, it's a Murk Tide. If Crystal Brand attacks an 8-8, then he's gonna die. I don't run swords or red blast, so I'm just a bye. My opponent looks at the graveyard and I wanna cry.
Why, man?
Because I'm Murk Tide. Because I'm Murk Tide. Because I'm Murk Tide.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast. It's putting a charge counter on their jeweled amulet.
Oh no.
Just like a Mox. It doesn't have suspend. It costs zero. It's fine. It's fine. My name's Quinn Omori, and I'm here as always with my naysaying co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
Jeweled amulet? Come on.
It's on my list, man. I'm a filthy net decker. It's in the 5-0s. Proven winner.
They must not have drawn it.
Oh, I saw the league. They drew it, and it was kind of good sometimes. You have to remember what kind of mana you put on it. Which, like, it's Thursday. I'll make a... Oh, shit. What did I tap this island, right? I make a blue.
Don't you have, like, the poker chips for, like, Painter?
I have a blue one and a black one, and that's it.
That's all you need.
Well, there's red and green in the... Anyways. And we're also here. My co-host is Brendan McBain. McBain, how's it going?
Hey, guys. I'm currently missing my blue chip. I only have a red and a white one right now.
I think you're making some kind of blue chip stock.
Wait,
joke.
Didn't we both get them from...
Yeah, we totally did. I don't know where mine is, though.
No, I thought... Didn't you split them? Like, mm-hmm. I have a blue and a black one, and you have a white and a red one, and someone else has a green one. I'm pretty sure.
This isn't like Dragon Balls or something. Like, I had a blue one at the one point.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought when Lyle stopped playing Magic, he like gave them out. Because I got two like Dragon Balls. Like, I've never had a full set.
Well, yeah, then you can make a wish.
Yeah, exactly. You obviously go for immortality. I had gotten a blue one, and then later on I got a white and red one for when I was playing Painter. And spoiler, I played Painter last weekend, but I only was able to bring or find my red and white one. But they're like those nice kind of like casino like...
Like poker chips, yeah.
Poker chip style, and they got a nice weight to them. You can't do like the whole, like, you can't have a whole stack of them and like shuffle the stack together. And like, what color should I name? And like, blue, I'm all in.
I mean, you could get up to six now if you get like a colorless one.
That's the slammer.
Or you get a Phyrexian one.
There we go.
Can you put Painter on Phyrexian mana?
No, but you know, it's just for one. Show.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
It could be like your storm count thing. You know, you put a dice on top of it. And there's a lot of uses.
Okay, sure.
So, McBain, you went to this whole tournament. Do you think maybe you know, spoiler, you didn't top eight because you kept naming Painter on white?
I did actually probably lose a game at one point.
Not... My opponents keep solitude-ing me.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Okay.
I'm just like, you didn't have to paint her on black. Oh, maybe you did paint her on black. We'll get to that. But first, why don't we do a little housekeeping?
I have some housekeeping. Oh, I was confused for a second. Connections Monthly, first Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. at the Connection Games and Hobbies, Games and Comics.
Games and Comics.
The Connection. 20 proxy limit. Next one's February 6th. As always, tentative attendance for myself, but 20 proxy limit means some real unhinged shit can happen.
So that's what I was thinking, except they're like, print them out. Printed proxies only, which is great for playing Magic, but I could like find most cards easier than I could find a fucking printer. And like, I work from home.
This is where I feel like the biggest adult in the room sometimes, and that I own a laser printer. I know. I think you, McBain, and Elliot were feeling the pain of the event this weekend where you please print my list to help.
Yeah, on the way down to Seattle, it's like, can we stop in and get a printed list,
please? Honestly, I was half a step away from asking if you guys wanted to stop on your way over to a pickup.
We got to add like 8 hours to get over to your place. To do that. So, oh, no.
Last time we went to Connections, it was easier for me to buy the 8 common initiative black creatures than to find a printer.
Yeah.
So I just own them now.
That's the pernicious secret of the 20 proxy limit.
Yeah, exactly. They get you in the door. Okay. Somewhat big event. Face-to-face tour, Vancouver, March 11th and 12th at the Vancouver Convention Center. There's a Legacy Showdown happening March 12th, which is a bunch of rounds of Swiss, depending on how many people show up, with a cut to top 8. That'll be cool. Do you know if they're doing... I should look this up beforehand. Obviously, there's this big Legacy event, but during the main day of the tour, do you know if they have like random side events?
I don't think there are Legacy on demands, but there's like other on demand event, like drafts and stuff like
that. Yeah, I'm going to be doing mainly CEDH on demands.
Most of Saturday. I don't know if this is
a bit. This is totally a bit.
This is the Canlander National Championship.
Oh wow, that's actually kind of cool. There'll probably be a couple US guys come out for that. I bet we could get a bunch of US people coming up for that event, and then they'd stay for the Legacy one. Yeah, it's quite popular down there.
All the Victoria guys come out to play.
See if they're the same day. Saturday tier championship charity challenge. I regret to inform you that the Legacy Showdown starts 15 minutes after the Canlander National Championship.
15 minutes? That's not even the 01 special. That's like... Yeah. God damn. And I mean, that's it for announced events. I've heard possible rumblings of some other kind of local 1K or something happening, but no concrete details for now. Hopefully... if this goes forward, we'll have something by next recording.
Mm-hmm. We did just attend, well, one of us at least attended a recent event that's local-ish, and that's the Laughing Dragon 1K down in Issaquah, which I never get tired of spelling when I have to type it out for whatever reason, like Issaquah.
You said Issaquah, and I was in my head trying to like make a leap between, you said like local ish and I was like local ish Issaquah.
It's Issaquah-ish. I don't know. This is as good as my CEDH bit. So this is probably another 15 minutes down the highway from Bellevue, where a lot of the Mox events were held, or I guess still are potentially held.
Rest in peace.
And this is put on by Laughing Dragon, the store down there, which actually has a lot of really sweet food options around it that we went to at the end of the night, and was a great way to just kind of, wrap up the day before you hit the road.
What I remember is a taco time in a Subway. What did you end up
with? We went to this like dumpling place. So there's like a main like little corridor, strode, if you will, and then on the other side of that there was a bunch more places. Come on, urban planning, YouTube. Come on, let's do it. yeah, we went to this dumpling place and it was super good. But yeah, overall, this was last Saturday. There was 49 people who showed up. There was, I guess, 5 of us from the Vancouver area that showed up for it. And then there was, I think, like 12 or 13 of that 49 was from the Portland area. So it was a good kind of like representation of the Pacific Northwest.
Who else was down from Vancouver?
We had Cody and his brother Scott.
Oh.
Or Scott and his brother Cody, depending on your allegiances. And then Jordan was the one, I believe, who was driving.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So it was fun. I actually got a picture, and Elliot came down with me for the event, but I got a picture at round one where, when they did the pairings, Jordan, Scott, and Elliot were all on table one or like the first table. And I was like, oh man, like we're doing so well, way to go. And then that was all there was for the for the majority of the time. They didn't do too great overall, but they had a pretty fun time. Jordan was... So Quinn, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you offer for City of Traders to lend to Jordan?
He talked about playing initiative and said he didn't have cities. And I was like, you can take them. You lose them, you buy them, but I doubt that's going to happen. He went, he came to hot a bit, and I was like, well, let me know. And that was
so kind of all. Having seen him after his event on Saturday, he very much wishes that he said yes to that transaction and played the initiative deck and played the bad person in the room playing the initiative deck. Instead, he played Allurin, which is like a deck that he really just loves to play, and ultimately didn't do very well and was kicking himself for not playing the initiative. So you could see the spike juices were flowing pretty good with him. He was just like, oh, I should have just came and kicked all these Americans' teeth in with initiative. But so I doubt that it'll still be legal. I actually kind of like razzed him for it a little bit. I was like, dude, it's not going to be legal likely soon. So you missed your opportunity to play it. But
so do you think they'll ban it before they put the cards on Magic Online? Because they're supposed to add, well, apparently most of the Infinity cards, or like they're some of the most of the relevant ones, and the Warhammer cards are Q2 2023.
I don't think they're in a rush to do anything.
Do you think they'll wait for them to come on, or do you think they'll make a ban first?
I hope that they're not like WotC now that Daybreak is kind of separate and they're doing their own thing, and hopefully they'll be able to like integrate cards faster onto Magic Online. I hope that WotC, for like the sake of the whole world and all of the events and stuff, isn't like beholden to Daybreak's schedule of getting cards online or something. And they're like, we need to make a change with the format, and we're going to make the change. Like, just end of story. But
what if Moloch turns the tide and Jund can overcome initiative?
He couldn't even say it was true. Fuck. Side note, Elliot did play 2 Moloch in his deck. And at the end of the event, he said, I think I'm going to play 3 Moloch, because he was so impressed with it.
It's red, green, X, and it's an XX. Like, it comes with X counters. No, that can't be right.
It's a 2-2.
That comes in with X counters?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an ETB and is a fight something?
Yeah. It fights if it's over a certain mana. No, you draw a card.
The Tyranid like mechanic from the sets where if X is 5 or greater, you draw a card.
It's a whole story, but you learn nothing about his background. That's the new way of Magic cards. I don't know anything about the flavor, but I got a whole like book.
What's the name of his ability? He's got to have some kind of, you know.
Oh, I don't know. We should ask this when Callum was on.
Oh, fuck.
So I hope, just as a side tangent, I hope the Lord of the Rings cards are kind of like this, where it's not like super obvious, you know, Frodo's ring or whatever, but it's kind of like, oh, Rohirrim rider, and he's got the muster, the Rohirrim mechanic, or something that's not like totally in your face.
Is that what Moloch is?
I don't know. So I like that Warhammer has come and gone, and I don't, and there's cards that are playing Legacy or played in Legacy, mm-hmm. and I'm not like being beaten over the head with Warhammer 40K stuff.
But
like,
do you think that's maybe because you don't know what Warhammer 40K stuff is?
Yeah, I'm sure there's an element of that in it. But it's again, not like
Samwise Gamgee. He's gotta be white. There's no like white X, right? Like Frodo could be white black or something, because he's like, you know, he gets the ring. But like Samwise, it's like two white, and Samwise mm-hmm. enters the battlefield, potato, make two food tokens. and he's a 3/3 because it's, I don't know, because it's 2023.
Okay, if we are never talking about this again until the set comes out.
And that's actually it's like the Tron of the set. You have a card that has boil 'em, and then a card that has mash 'em, and then stick 'em in the stew, and you have all of them together.
And
then you just get a free healing salve in your hand. Conjure a healing salve into your hand.
So where was I before I was so prudently run over with your tangent?
You don't know what 40K cards are, so you're not affected by it. Like, I mean, local man who's never, you know, seen or read a Lord of the Rings property is just like, oh, there's a magic ring. Oh, this gentleman's name is Legolas. That's interesting.
Looks like the elves want to forge some rings to protect their immortality.
Oh, this fucking
from this random person.
Elvish bread you're talking about. Oh, this seems good.
So Laughing Dragon, they had overall, they were, I spoke to Dave, the owner of the fine establishment, after the event, and he said that he was expecting about 30 people to come out. That was his, like, this was his success number and what he was expecting. And 49 is wildly exceeding our expectations for a Legacy event, I think. Which was, you know, great to see. This is the second event that they've been holding, that they've held in recent months. I'm not sure when the next one is. I know they're doing the April event down in Oakland, so they'll probably be like full focus on that. But we might get another one before then, or another one just after. But all in all, a super well-run event. And again, like, as they're kind of talking about it, they're like, oh yeah, and then we also have this like Canadian Highlander event that's coming up, and they had a bunch of other things that they're doing with the store, but a lot of focus on Eternal Blade, which is cool to see. The anything else I want to say about the full event? I'll add a few other items in when I kind of go over some of my results, but the overall metagame. So again, 49 players. If we were playing on Magic Online, you would expect 20 to 25 of those 49 players to be on Delver Initiative, is what the data suggests. So you're having like 40 to 50%. And we had White Initiative. We had 3 people of the 49,
mm-hmm.
which is almost like what the last event that we had in November. I think there was 2 or 3. You were one of them, Jeff.
I think it was just me and Lee, maybe one other person.
Yeah, so Lee was one of them. Wyland was another, and then there was one other person on White Initiative. And there was 5 Delver players. And in between there was actually 4 Painter players. I was one of those. But those were the most prolific, or the most well-played, or not well-played, but the most played decks. Some other decks, we had 3 Cephalid Breakfast, which is pretty sweet. We had 3 Merfolk, not like Thassa's Oracle Merfolk, like just actual Lord of like Atlantis. Get you Merfolk.
Phantasmal Image Check?
Oh, dude, I watched a Merfolk player kick the teeth in on an Initiative player when they... the illusionist did.
Illusionist is really funny. People are bringing it up as a possibility to play in initiative. Because mm-hmm. You're like, oh, it's great. It's two mana. You copy an initiative thing, an opponent's initiative thing. There's rules. But when you hit the forge room on the initiative, you can target anybody's things. So then you just like upkeep, oh, like vindicate your guy.
Or if you're really like a rookie bitch, you like initiative your own thing.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens once on Magic Online. And you're like, what?
And it just like disappears and you're like, where did it go? State-based effects. A couple other decks. We had two black Saga Storm, which we'll get into in a moment, I think. We had two Elves decks, two Hot Bant. That's one of the decks Greg was on. And then a whole bunch of one-ofs. Literally everything. There was anywhere from Mind Goblins to lands with a Painter combo in it, to Sneak and Show, to Epic Gamble. There was a Paradigm Shift Thoughtlash deck. There was everything under the sun. It was pretty wild. And there was another wild brew that I think we'll get into a little bit later, which was the Creative Technique deck. But overall, it was a sweet metagame. Like, I loved it. Did have the things that you could kind of target, like, you know, Painter, Initiative, Delver, Elves, like Breakfast. Those were all like well represented to a degree, but not over represented or the numbers that you'd see in like a typical online metagame. And then there was just some crazy shit that people wanted to play. So all in all, it was kind of what I was expecting to see. Like some people were like, I don't want to go. It's just going to be overrun with Delver and Initiative. And I'm just like, I don't think so.
I mean, you haven't hit on the top eight yet, but I'm just looking at it on Goldfish. And I just want to say the most played card in the top eight, guess.
I was going to say maybe Urza's Saga. I don't know.
Quinn?
Sorry, I'm looking at like the...
Don't look.
It's got to be Brainstorm, right?
There's
oops.
Lotus Petal. 19 Ooh. Copies of Lotus Petal in the top.
A healthy format.
That's fucked up. The second most played card is Leyline of the Void. That is not a healthy sign.
Ooh, what a game.
Okay, I'm going to go through and name, before we continue, I'll just name some of the decks that were likely playing Lotus Petal then in the rest of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Black Reanimator.
Sure. 8
cast. Does 8 cast play Lotus Petal? No, it doesn't.
I don't think so.
It doesn't.
Sneak and Show.
I don't know.
Doomsday. Epic Gamble. I think all the other ones actually made it in. So Lotus Petal performed well, is what you're saying.
Yeah, 8 cast has 4 petals.
Oh, yeah.
They play little zeros. You can buy them back with, you get them for free with Emery.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
I guess I should have known, because there's always that, like, I'm announcing that I'm casting my Emery, and therefore I will
perform
with the Lotus Petal.
Well, does Emery have affinity?
Kind of.
Sort of.
It has affinity text.
Does it still work the same? Affinity.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can also, like, pedal Emery pedal to make your turtle bigger and stuff like that.
I do appreciate the 8 cast players that don't like state the fact that they're casting Thought Cast like just under the radar. Like they just do it and they expect you
like,
to know.
There's like a bunch of mana there. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's a ton of artifacts, whatever.
Hey, you don't have enough artifacts. And it's like, yeah, it's like when you have the Blood Moon in play and then you have your City of Traders and you play a land and your opponent's like, oh, your City of Traders dies. And you're like, shut up.
I'm
not announcing this.
I remember at Eternal Weekend hitting my 8 cast opponent with Elite Spellbinder and looking at their hand, and it's Thought Monitor and Thought Cast, and they have like 9 artifacts in play. And it was like, this doesn't do anything.
Nice. I'll just kind of go over a little bit of my stuff before we go into the top 8. So overall, I did 4 wins, 2 losses. I lost the first round. When I got paired, it was against Jason Wong, which is the person that I, when I last went down to the last event, him and I played in the finals. And we get paired up. sure enough, he's on the basically the same deck with some tweaks. And I play probably equally as bad against it, having like, I guess he's the only person that I really like. Just Quinn played it at one point, but he also kind of just drew some very good hands and I didn't, but he crushed me 2-0. And after that, I played against former guest, Mr. Lee, who was on White Initiative. Again, a deck that I think he was very early to, all things being equal.
What kind of build was he on?
He was on a mono white build.
But like Thalias and like, you know, Elite Spellbinders and Oedipus Peacekeepers. Chalice main side.
I saw a Chalice. Flavors. No, I saw a Chalice.
What like non-idiot without initiative? Like what idiot without initiative did you
see? He had an Archon.
Okay.
There's an Archon. I didn't see a Spellbinder. I didn't see a Beefkeeper. What else?
Interesting, man. Still the little iterations. You never quite know what you're gonna hit.
Yeah. I won 2-1 against him. We had some pretty gnarly games.
Did our practice help at all?
It was like you would think it would just be like run over and they would just run you over, you run over them. But in game 3, at one point we had the initiative in the game, we had Monarch in the game. And I had a Goblin Engineer and a Goblin Welder in play, and he had one blocker of something. And he had the Monarch, but I had the initiative. And I was like, I want this fucking Monarch. So, but I also wanted to get, I was on the Forge side of the initiative or the dungeon. And I wanted to have more board presence. So I was like, I want to get over to the skeleton.
Yeah, the arena.
So I goaded my own goblin. I goaded my own goblin welder. And I was like, let's get in there.
Can you goad your own creatures? I don't even know if it's legal.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't know. We called over the judge. Like,
attack someone other than, preferably someone other than you. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Wait. So why did you goad your own guy? Yeah,
can't you just attack anyways?
Can't you just goad their guy?
I wanted to just goad my guy for whatever reason. I don't remember the exact force state. Maybe it was just a punt. Who knows? But yeah. So I just like wanted to get over, but I attacked in. They actually had a Cathar Commando in the deck that they flashed in and did some crazy stuff. Yeah, it was actually very good. But yeah, we had some pretty back and forth crazy games. But there was, I think it was the second game where they won the first one, I won the second one. But on turn 2, they went like Soul Land Go or something like that. And by the time they got their turn back and played a land and played a White Plume, so like turn 2 White Plume, that seems fine. I felt like I was a lands deck. Like I had gone through so many cards because I was like turn 1 Fable, Lotus, Engineer.
Turn 1 Fable?
Like I just had so many cards and so much velocity. And he's like, turn 2 White Plume. And I was like, don't care. You're dead. Like it just, like the Painter deck really impressed me when I was playing it.
Turn 1 Fable really is like turn 1 White Plume. Like it's very close to the same thing.
It does so many things. Yeah, we talked about this last episode, but just does everything.
Yeah, turn 1 White Plume was, or turn 1 Fable was pretty good. I did play one, what are they called? Lightning Greaves in the deck.
Oh, yeah.
And Callum I did.
Got to you.
That was one of the that was one of the games where I just threw out Lightning Greaves and it bounced around and did a bunch of silly things. But overall, it was just like, actually some pretty back and forth grindy games. Fury is really good in the matchup, but I was able to take it down. And then I played against 2 Blue Red Delvers back to back. So I was really getting the top half, the no wild brew stuff. I was getting all like the high end things.
Yeah, of the amount of these decks in the meta, it seems like you hit everybody.
Yeah, I hit all the big bads. Anything notable from the Delver stuff? It was the first Delver player who was actually like at the end of the match. I kind of complimented him. I was just like, I just want to say like his movement of cards around the table and just how he like represented things and like pondered and brainstormed and put things into his graveyard. It was just so, one, it was very fast, but it was also just like super fluid. Like it was kind of a joy to watch, honestly. Meanwhile, I'm like, I got my cane and walker, like, well, I'm going to cast a fable and go find a token from my bin. And it was,
did you pick up any tips?
we had a, yeah, exactly.
Should I like bring home? No.
Something to aspire to at least. But there was at one point where I had an active welder in play and an active Kiki. And then I cast a Goblin Engineer. And I put a Chaos Defiler in my graveyard. And then I put my hand up and said, judge. And I called the judge over and I was like, I just want to make sure that I, like, before I do anything, I want to make sure that, like, when I Kiki a Chaos Defiler, it's going to trigger twice through the turn.
And like it's entering the battlefield and is dying.
And it's dying. And Frank's like, yes, it is that good. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I just wanted to confirm that. So I, like, Goblin Welder in Chaos Defiler. And I'm at 3 life. And he's got a Darcy, a Delver, and a Giant Murktide. And I'm just like, okay. Chaos Defiler comes in. I kill your Murktide. Copy it. Kill your other creature. Attack. Swing for a whole bunch. And then the copy dies. And then the turn I kill his other thing. And he's just like, good Lord. That is insane. And he's like, come on, Lightning Bolt. Misses on the lightning bolt and then concedes right on the spot. But there was a few games I had like that where the Chaos Defiler just kind of like went to town. And it's such a swing when it happens.
It's fucked up.
When I did it against Lee on initiative, he just swords it right on the spot. And I was like, oh. I actually should have waited to bring it in so I had a second welder to kind of like back up in case they went to swords in. It was kind of a punt on my part. I made many punts across the day just being rusty on Painter, but like having that second backup welder so like when you bring it out the first time, there's just nothing they can do. And if they go to like remove it or do something to it, you're just like, I'm just gonna weld it again and blow up another thing of yours. So
being able to weld it up and blow something out is so dumb.
It's so insane.
Like being able to Goblin Engineer it out of play, and that's good. Even though Goblin Engineer can't get it back, like yeah. So good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a real card. If you play it, I'm going to call a judge.
Well, that's what I did. I had to call a judge, and I was like, "Judge, tell my opponent how good this card is."
There's no such thing as a Chaos Defiler in Magic. If you think so, you're mistaken.
In this initiative, I'm never going to learn what it does. So I played against 2 Delver players. I 2-0'd both of them, which felt pretty good. And after like talking with Callum, where it's just like, you just don't go all in and you just keep putting pressure on them. That's all I did. Worked out fine. Felt great. The round 5 opponent was Ruby Storm. And I had no idea what they were on. Game 1, I mulled a 5. I'm on the play. And it's just like, no lands, all lands. Mulligan to 5. I'm like, okay, I guess this is fine. I just go mount and go. And they draw their card. And then they go into their bin and they get out like a Pokemon energy counter and like a red fire thing. And I'm just like, oh my God. So I just put my hand down. And they just dump their hand. Like they generate all this mana. They play the LED and then they discard Echo and they just go Echo with like all this mana floating. And I'm just like, I'll tap my mountain and red blast your Echo on them all the 5. And the guy's like, oh, untap, proceed to like play a very bad Maldify about and win the game. which felt pretty savage. And then game two, my opponent goes Mountain Go. I have capped, I think it was a Mulda 6, and I capped turn two Painter Grindstone Kill. So I go turn one, Tomb, Painter, and I name white because I'm concerned that they've boarded in. They're like a mono red deck. I'm like, okay, they could ostensibly bring in Pyro. I probably should have just named blue there, but I didn't. And I pass to them, and I've got like another Soul Land and Grindstone in my hand. I'm just like, let's go. Let's do this. I was banking on the fact that they were going to play a little bit more conservative in the sideboard of games.
Ruby Stars?
That was incorrect.
I don't think you can.
I was hoping anyway. And they untap. They just go Ancient Tomb, and I die. Oof. They play all sorts of shenanigans. Was there any?
I mean, did you have? Cool... Did you have like Monkey Blast? Otherwise, it doesn't really matter what you name, right?
I did not have Monkey Blast, but I had Monkey. So what happened at one point?
Because they wheel.
Exactly. So I could have floated a red mana. Mm. They wheeled, and then I could have drawn a red blast and red blasted something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the only blue spell is Echo.
Well, that's no, what you got named blue.
No, that's why the painter I played on turn one. I should have named blue and not white. Yeah.
Okay.
So I made that punt. They did wheel. I didn't draw. I floated the red mana. They actually went like Ancient Tomb, I don't know, Lotus Petal or something, and they played Jessica's Will.
Yep.
And I was like, what does this do? And he says, I get mana for your cards in your hand. And I was like, I will respond and pitch a Simian Spirit Guide.
Get the fuck out of here.
You get one less mana. I think yeah, I'm all big brain.
And I get one red. Actually...
Yeah. So then I was floating that red. Which... No, he actually just kept going because he played a Burgi, which just got insane with how much mana it was making. But then at some point he wheeled and I could have drawn some of the Mindbreak drops in my deck, or if I had named blue on Painter, I could have drawn a Pyroblast or Red Blast. I didn't, and I died. Then in game three, what was notable in game three? Not much. I just kind of mulled low. I never saw any Mindbreak drops the whole match, and game three I tried to lock them out with some thorns and, you know, shitters and stuff like that. And it was actually like, I hadn't played against like a pretty skilled Storm player in a long time. I'm looking at you, Quinn. And
I haven't played Storm Mage in so long.
But he would draw his card and he just kind of pause for a moment. And then he'd go, okay. And he just nod his head. Like almost like in this, like, okay, we've arrived. Here we are. And he'd go back into his bin and he'd bring out his cards. And then he would start casting spells. And you're like, oh my God, it's happening. Like, here we go. Like he'd solve the algorithm and then it was just executing. And so I had a thorn. I had two thorns in play. And he just goes, okay, I'm going to cast a bonus round. And I go, oh no. Maybe he's like, I thought it was like a non-deterministic line, but it apparently was like deterministic. And he just killed me without casting any blue spells either.
Through double thorn.
Yeah, through double thorn.
And bonus round rules. That's so sick.
Bonus round is insane. And so that was round five. So I think he drew his next one and he was in top eight. And then my last round opponent was a Doomsday player. And we played some sweet games. Game one, he wins the roll, kills me turn one. I don't get to play a single land. And I was just like, wow, I forgot Doomsday could just do that. That's impressive. If I had Monkey Blast, he would have just died, which would have been sweet. But game two, we kind of just go back and forth for a minute. And then turn two or turn three, he plays a Shieldred.
Oh, that max tech.
Yeah, and then I proceed to win the game with one life after several turns. And it involved me playing an Urza Saga, making a bunch of constructs, red blasting some random stuff. But I also on his, what did he do? He brainstormed turn two. And I wasn't sure what he was doing. And he, you know, like, I just wanted to get some information. So I was just like, end of turn two, I was like, I'm just going to surgical your brainstorm, trying to get him on, like, he shuffled something back kind of thing.
Right. I'll put that one away. I need that coming up.
I'm just going to draw that next turn. It'll be fine. And I was like, no, you're not. So I surgicaled his brainstorms. And it was actually, he had put a land back on top that he needed to cast the Shieldred. So I see the Shieldred in his hand. I was like, oh, no, I'm screwed if this thing resolves. And I play the saga, do some stuff. And then it goes to him and he's just like, I need to draw a land and play the Shieldred. And he hits it and plays it. But yeah, the fact that I had surgicaled his brainstorms, like, took away that freaking gain six life line that he could have done because they were all gone. But yeah, win the game at one life with like a whole team swinging in past the Shieldred.
Painter's Zoo.
It was a freaking gong show is what it was. And then game three, he plays, I keep my opening six or seven and I have double Mind Break Trap. And I was like, come at me, bud. Like, let's do this.
It's a tough one against Doomsday. The amount of games I've lost where you're like sitting in my Mind Break Trap and you're like,
yeah, because don't they just kind of go like, they know you're going to bring it in. So they just like Dark Ritual Doomsday, pass a turn.
Yeah.
Cycle, or cycle, like, cycler.
Triple black Doomsday, cycle, 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 Death's Oracle. I guess, yeah, so, you need like petals or something, but yeah, you just go slow and it's fine.
So thanks for that, guys. That was really helpful. I wish I had kind of maybe known that ahead of time.
It, I mean, it's still good.
Like, you still, you have to bring it in.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah. So I had the double and I'm kind of just, you know, developing my board and I have a Lotus Petal at one point, a couple mountains and a Mox Opal. And they cast a, well, before that they went Dark Ritual. I think it was like turn two. They just went Dark Ritual. And I really tried to sell it to, like, you know, get them to go in. I was like, oh no, Dark Ritual. And I like kind of threw my hand down, banged the table to make a loud noise in the podcast. And really wanting them to cast like that extra spell before they cast Doomsday. And then they just go Shieldred. I'm like, oh god damn it, this fucking thing again. And they get the Shieldred down, start gaining life, I start losing life. And a few turns later they go to cast a Grief to like clear my hand out. And I tap my Mox, my Lotus Petal on two mountains, and I was like, I will hard cast a Mind Break Trap on that Grief. And they were floored that that was even a possibility.
Like, why did they bring all those cards in against you?
Yeah, why would you bring in Shieldred against Danger?
Like, are you just going to be like combo kill? Like, you have to play around Mind Break Trap. Like, that's it.
I don't think that they're really giving. We were talking afterwards. He was like, you know, what about the Shieldred? Like, should I bring that in or not? And there was like several of us around at that point. And we had kind of come to the conclusion, we're like, it's like two cards that you're losing.
What a cut, though.
I don't know.
Like, I'd rather have Thoughtseize.
They still
feel like it's one of those cards people get stuck on, like, it's a really good pivot out of the board, and they're just like, well, I'll just bring it in every matchup. But yeah, it's, I think something like,
I think it was like two personal tutors that they cut.
Personal tutors. I think you're just racing, aren't you?
Yeah, they're racing to a 4-5.
Either you have Red Blast or Personal Tutor, or they just show you Doomsday and then let you know you're gonna die in two turns.
So honestly, like, the Shieldreds were great for them both games. Like, so game two, I win it at one life, and game three, I win it two life.
Doesn't sound like they were that good.
Yeah. Like, what if that was Personal Tutor? They would have won the game.
No, I had like blasts and shit like that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you blast the Personal Tutor, yes. But I mean, like, if the Personal Tutor resolves instead of the Shieldred and you end up winning it one and two life, they would have just won the game.
I think it's more the fact that like all of my answers are geared towards their combo and none of my answers are geared towards Shieldred.
Yeah, that is the general thought of the...
So they just play it and they continue to do their normal Doomsday stuff, but I just get screwed and I can't also attack into the Shieldred. But ultimately, we get to the point where it's like my last turn before they're just going to... I have one more draw before I just die to the Shieldred. So I draw my card. I'm at 4 life. I tick up Fable to 2. I'm like, okay, I'm going to discard this other Mind Drake trap that I've been holding the whole game. I draw a Red Blast. So I have 2 Red Blasts in my hand. And I just go, okay, Engineer, bring in Painter. And then Red Blast the Shieldred. And they just snap off the Force Wheel that they've been sitting on in their hand. I was like, oh, man. For whatever reason, I just really wanted to, like, we were having a fun time. And it was a pretty close game. So I really sold it. I was like, oh, you really got me there. I was like, oh, I guess that resolves. I record life. And I was like, I'm going to Red Blast it again.
You're just like, Columbo, one more thing.
Basically. I don't know why I decided to be the asshole there, but I was just like, okay, I'll just Red Blast it again. And the guy's like, what the fuck? Like, you could have countered the Force. You could have just like snapped it off right away. But I just paused for that extra second.
That's great. I don't know who's boss.
Yeah, just really put the salt in the wound there. But all in all, like, all my matchups were pretty fun. And I had a great time playing Painter. And I had the impression that it was, like, pretty streamlined and there wasn't too many tricksy things to do and stuff like that. And it was actually really fun. So thank you to both of you for lending me some cards.
It feels good to be on the end of the spectrum where I can land cards for once.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the pep talks from Callum helped.
No, we never have to get you back because you don't come to anything.
Bazing.
Yeah, okay. So, that's fair.
Those are some of my fun stories along the way. Hopefully it wasn't too rambly.
No, it's sick. I'm really jealous. I was hoping to be able to come, but, you know, stuff's just getting picked up and moved around. It's harder to schedule some of these weekends right now. I'm dying for like more events. More events I can attend, I should say.
I was going to say, are you?
That's very selfless.
I'm dying
for you guys to play more.
And in here for more events. It's just, you know, sometimes some stuff comes up and it's like, well, we got another plan. I should probably do that. There's another Magic event every week. But that's how it starts, right? You need to have unshaken day. And I got to get back to that. For a long time, I think there was a fear of God of like, you know, if Green's planning something with anybody, it was always like, it's not Thursday. And that's wavered. So I got to get back to it's Thursday. This is what's happening. I don't care.
Should we send like a card?
Like we miss the you. Date every and Thursday.
No, we just like, we miss you. Yeah. We hope you're well. And like the whole like community signs it and we send it to a Gervain.
That would actually kill. That would be great.
We could put it up on the fridge. All right, this is happening. So top 8. I'll just go through the top 8 and then you guys can pick out like one or two decks to kind of go over because I think there's 2 pretty sweet ones here. Overall, it was won by Mono White Initiative.
This is like a pretty classic build too. This is, you know, you got all the good stuff.
A classic.
Yeah. You got the Peacekeeper, Thalia, Elite Spellbinder.
Second place, we had Black.
Is it an Thalia? I looked earlier. I forgot. But, you know, it's white non-initiative shitters.
Jeff, I'm sorry. No one cares. We don't want to talk about initiative. In second place, we have Black Saga Storm, which we are going to talk about. That sounds sweet. Third place, we had Oops All Spells. It was Ty Brown from, I think he was from Portland. Then we had Andrew on Blue Red Delver. We had friend of the show, prior guest, Jack Vanilla, Franco Boli playing Chaos Painter or Black Forest Cake, as we dubbed last episode.
It's not Black Forest Cake. It doesn't have the mutts. No dogs.
I thought Black Forest Cake was just playing Painter with Chaos, basically.
Okay, we got to ask Callum.
All right.
I thought we were referring to like that deck Callum played. Jack played 3 Chaos Defilers in his main deck.
Yeah, why would you not? It's fucked up.
And we had Esper Turtles, bass playing Esper Turtles. I think we're going to have to go to that one for a minute. And then Philip, who was my round five opponent on Relay Storm or the Ruby Storm deck that I talked about. And then we had evergreen frenemy of the show, Elliot Fisher, spelt wrong, on Five Color Zenith.
I hope this is never corrected because you know it's going to be like at one point in time we'll be like comparing records and MTG Goldfish or something. It'll be like, I don't know, you're missing one. Like, oh, geez. It's going to kill it.
The, I guess the only thing I'll say for Elliot's list, his plan was to dodge initiative and he dodged initiative until top eight.
It's helpful when there's nobody here playing the deck.
I think like that plan to like dodge blank is good if you're like me and you're like, I'll play a couple rounds and see what I do later. If you're like want to make top eight, you can only dodge the best deck in the format for so long, right? Like you're going to meet them in the top eight, you would assume, right?
Well, there was one in eight in the top eight.
You're generally not three wrong. In
49.
But like, but you're going to have to beat the best deck, you would assume, right?
Yeah, yeah. In a normal event, you're not wrong. But tell that to Doomsday players who have been trying to dodge Delver for eternity. The two things I'll say about Elliot's deck is he was playing a Toxicroak in his main, which is the
giant spider,
another Tyranid.
Yeah.
And it's a giant spider. You're right. So it's a giant spider. So three and a green, it's a 2/4, it's reach, but then it's because it's 2023, too. It has death touch and then a hyper toxic miasma, which is a static ability that all lands have. Tap to add one of any color and lose all other abilities. So like sagas die. The
sagas only die after the third chapter still though, right?
But they don't do anything.
Isn't it like Blood Moon?
Tap for any color.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe saga was a bad example. Fetch lands.
Sorry, no, that is a good example, but they do live for a period of time, right? They become like extended Lotus Petals kind of, I think. Because they still get the counters because of like the super type.
Nobody
knows. And then when they get the counters, they die. But like they come into play, they'll still get counters. But like after the counter, they still die. And then in between that, they just make a color or any color.
The wastelands are now just rainbow lands. Your fetch lands don't fetch. They're just rainbows. So like apparently it was fine. But he played two Molochs, which is the 2/2 with the X +1/+1 counters. And when it comes into play, it fights something. And between like Green Sun Zenith targets, and then also triggering his one of his two Omnaths that he was playing in his deck. So you're like land, fetch land, make a bunch of mana, Moloch for something big. That's a possibility as well. So overall, he really liked Moloch and he was going up to three.
I mean, it's basically Flame Tongue Kavu for a lot of smaller stuff, just on like, you know, two or three mana, and then you can crank it up and fight something big and Green Sun for it to like eat a little guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Green Sun just becomes like Kill Target Delver if you needed to.
Yeah.
So let's jump to Black Saga Storm. Tell me about this deck. I have no idea what it is.
I don't think we know how it works.
I mean, I think it's easy to
assume how it works. Is it just Storm with Thurza Saga?
It seems to be the case. A few more artifacts
If that's it and we're not missing anything, there's a real like
it's one of two people playing that deck at the event.
It's not like a notch in Urza Saga's favor if like you could just be like, oh, I have a Storm deck, what else? I don't know, make some fucking constructs, give a shit.
Yeah, like I guess I mean tutoring for like an LED or like a Chrome Mox is great. But I mean it's just Storm playing like Mishra's Baubles, a Shadow Spear, and like four Vault of Whispers. I mean the notable thing, Cabal Therapy's in it, which is sick. Cabal Therapy rules. And in the board, they're playing a whole bunch of stuff, but they're also playing four Leyline, one Helm.
Oh my god, you can Cabal Therapy and sack your Construct of Flashback.
It's okay, so good. It's so good.
Right, so it's just Mono Black. They're splashing for Burning Wish and Galvanic Relay in the main.
It's splashing for Echo in the
one
side.
One Galvanic Relay, one Burning Wish.
Mm-hmm.
One Burning Wish, god damn.
Yeah, so 6-2-1 was their overall record.
Yeah, it's a really neat. I mean, the sagas I don't like just on principle, but like the idea.
That's something like, is there anything else? Is it just that? Like they're just good enough? Yeah, like that's not good.
You got a Shadow Spear in your Storm deck.
Larger context.
I think it's more like that. You've got two plans going. You're like, I can do this saga thing, and
but I think that's
both
like
of these.
Inherent problem if your plan B is that strong and the opportunity cost is you get a free LED when your land goes away.
Yeah, you go get your Shadow Spear so your zero creature deck can
attack.
Like that's an indictment, not a
Would you play an LED that has suspend 3?
So it's like a bad Lotus Bloom.
No, but if it shit out to like 4/4s first, then like yes.
Yeah.
Like on the second suspend triggers made a 4/4, like okay.
They're gonna be huge. The deck is all artifacts. They're gonna be like 8/8s.
The other deck that was in here that I think is worth mentioning based on interest, assume we said everything.
Wait, I'm still hung up. This is a Coward Storm deck. I'm sorry.
It was your paradise. It was your Unfinity cards. Esper Turtles, 5/2. I like turtles.
I like turtles.
This is just
doesn't even have the one you hate.
Yeah, Esper Turtles. Right. I saw that name and I got really excited, but it really is just the Murktide Regent Sailor's Bane deck. Sailor's Bane, notably the 7/7/4/9 that costs one less for each instant. Sorry, each card you own in exile and in your graveyard. That's an instant sorcery or a card that has an adventure and it has ward 4
in exile.
Yeah, so you can exile them off the Murktide and they still count for Sailor's Bane.
Ooh, that's pretty savage.
Yeah, and then you know just
or your forces stuff. You pitch away your force and it still counts.
Mental Node, Ponder, you know, Prismatic Ending, Swords, Thoughtscour, Thoughtseize, Days, Snuff Out, Force of Will. Deck's sweet.
This is actually pretty sweet.
Just like Esper Shitters.
The fact that you're just like answer 1/1, counter, do the thing, and then you just start dropping these haymakers is kind of sick.
Oh yeah. Man, imagine how much cooler if like Murktide wasn't here though, and it was the whale in Sailor's Bane.
Oh.
No one's stopping you, Quinn. You can do that.
Yeah, well, but then Sailor's Bane is I want to win games of magic.
As you attack, Sailor it costs Bane more.
Is cool. They're kind of like a Nombo, right?
No, they're not.
The kind of exile. Yeah, but then you attack, they go back to your hand.
Then I'll play them and they'll be back in my graveyard.
Okay, all right. So overall, I think it's a pretty sweet tech. And then you get to do the old brainstorm thought scour yourself line as well, which is always sweet. I like how they went up to 4 thought scour and they're like, we need more. And then they play mental node.
4 Thoughtscour, 2 Mental Node is wild.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This that's turbo like, Murktide.
You're casting like turn 2 Murktides at that point.
You're just getting owned by Leyline though, eh?
Yeah, yeah,
it doesn't own Sailor's Bane.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I stand corrected. This is perfect.
It's the anti-Leyline tech.
This is actually pretty sick.
I remember seeing.
Can you imagine you bring in Leyline and your opponent's like, I just boarded them all out? You just have 4 Leylines that do literally nothing.
That'd be funny. We need another Exile Zone. Wasn't there one in one of the unsets? So it's like a super mega Exile Zone. Like, you know, cards in Exile don't do anything. That's the new like Null Rod, and you don't count them.
Shut up, Jeff.
It's on a white 2/2 for 2.
The last thing I want to mention, you did mention for Jack's painter list, the red black painter, 3 chaos defilers, which is I don't even know what they're not playing.
No Breas. Jack has no fear of dying to a 2020.
There's no Brea.
He has no bridge and no Brea. He just dies to Merit Leash. Dude,
when's the last time he saw 2020?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He just didn't care. Yeah. So he has three in a 75, three Chaos Defilers, four copies of Fury, and one Twin Shot Sniper. Like, nothing lives.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah. Does it have Hexproof? Doesn't matter. Still get it.
Two Blood Knight in the side. Woo.
Yeah, I love the Blood Moon Magus split as well.
That's like the what's on my shelf right now split. The one Blood Moon, two Magus.
I couldn't find my third Magus. Fuck it, Blood Moon. Or I have a Dark Blood Moon. Fuck it, Blood Moon.
And they can go up to 8 Blast. I don't think I've ever played a Painter deck with 8 Blast. That's insane.
You should have taken notes, seeing as how he got a better record than you.
Yeah, he's clearly more experienced.
I've been trying to find some Chaos Defilers because they're sick. They're just hard to find.
They're not that expensive, but it took me forever to find my copies.
They're so hard to find.
My brother, like I said a few episodes ago, my brother got me that pre-con for that and another pre-con for Christmas. So when I was like, I guess I have one Chaos Defiler. I just went in there, took it out, and I was like, sleeved it up. I was like, all right, let's go. One seems fine.
No, you want at least two.
But two, well, the fact that it's
only... You want two main deck ever, though.
The fact that you can only bring it back with Welder is, like, a thing.
What do you mean you can only bring it back with Welder? You just cast it.
Well, yeah, I guess you can cast it, but...
Like, it's so easy to cast.
I did mulligan a hand where I had a turn two Chaos Defiler.
Turn two?
Yeah. It was like a Shaman LED, or not Shaman, Assuming Spirit Guide, a Lotus Petal, a Soul Land in another land, and a Chaos Defiler. I was like, ooh, this sounds sweet. And then it's like, if this gets countered, I'm just fucking dead. So mulligan did.
Cavern on Demon.
So that was the top eight and a little bit of the story. Do we want to just quickly go into this spicy deck that was written up?
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit earlier, and we certainly talked about the deck before, but in talking about this before recording, I think we realized McBain had no idea how this works.
I have no idea. are we at yes, yes, no, or like...
I think it's yes, yes, no.
What's yes, yes, no?
Oh, wow, non-reply all listener.
I only listen to like hockey podcasts.
All right. So there's a podcast that I don't think it exists anymore.
I know what Reply All is. Like, I know the existence of it.
They had a segment called Yes, Yes, No. Where there's three people, and you know, two of them know what it is. The other person has no idea. And usually it's some fucking tweet. You could do this with Elliot and understand some deranged shit.
That would be like, no, yes, no, don't tell us.
no, seriously, do not.
Yeah, no.
So in this case, I know what this deck is. I'm not going to say I'm a master, or I could probably read all the cards fine. And Quinn knows what this deck is and how it works. McBain does not. I think he's seen some things from afar, watched some forked stacks, and is like, what the hell is going on? So this is the Creative Technique deck, which I think is really the only way to describe it. Sean Danan? Has been playing it in the Issaquah area for a while. It made some noise in the summer too. I think it showed up at 90s MTG and somebody else was playing it. There's a few different lists that have come up, but really the root of the deck is like the same. So before I just run through a list really quick, I mean, McBain, do you know now what Creative Technique the card is?
Please explain. Right. I have no idea. Okay, when I look at... So... The thing that I'm looking at that is, it's like a Reddit post of the deck. So there's no mouse overs, there's no nothing. It's just like classic old source text.
A bunch of cards you've never heard of unless someone had a McMahon.
But I do see Crystal Vein, Sulphur Vent, yes. City of Traders, Dwarven Ruin, Ancient Tomb, Hickory Woodlot, Sappers and Scary, Sandstone Needle.
Yeah.
So I Havenwood
Battleground.
Yep. You got all the important stuff in there.
Havenwood Battleground was like back in the day. Where like that was like Channel Fireball at home. Like, no one has black lush. You're like, hey, what about ground? Don't strip mine, please. Please don't strip mine,
please.
So I do know this deck is up to some serious bullshit, but
yeah,
you the can other cards in it, I don't really know.
That it's like trying to get a lot of mana as fast as possible. I mean, if you want to do a, in quotes, soul land count, I mean, you have Ancient Tomb City and then all of these, you know, Crystal Vein, all of the things that sack for two mana. So I don't know what the soul land count even adds up to, but Creative Technique, the card, which is the really the glue that makes this pile stick together, is a red sorcery from the Strixhaven Commander decks. It costs 4 and a red. It has Demonstrate, which I think was only in this Commander set. And it's when it you cast the spell.
Wasn't it in the main set too?
Was it? No.
Even
no, more. Definitely not. So Demonstrate, anyway, when you cast the spell, you may copy it. If you do, choose an opponent to also copy it. So if you cast this, you copy it. I get 2, you get 1. Shuffle your library, then reveal cards from the top of it until you reveal a non-land card. So basically a polymorph effect. But notably, you exile that card and put the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order, and then you can cast the exiled card without paying its mana cost. So these cards are always kind of fun, you know, flipping stuff off with like with unexpected results, I think was in standard. Yeah.
I just want to ask the cast, like, is it immediate? Or
yeah, it's not Mind's Desire rules. It is like, you know, you are casting it. It's not like,
okay, so then there's until later. if I've cast it and I've demonstrated and there's 3 of them on the stack, the first one resolves and then immediately cast the creature with the other 2 still on the stack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is where you get into interesting, I think, as Greg is describing it, like a forked stack. So what you need to remember in this deck is 5 mana, you get 2 flips off the top of your deck. Every single creature in the deck, so every single other thing in the deck that's not land, is either an Emrakul, of which there's 1. So that's kind of the top of your chain, right? And again, it's cast. So if you cast Emrakul here, you get an extra turn. And then the other non-lands all have Cascade. And they all cost like 6 or 7 or 8. So
more than Creative Technique.
More than Creative Technique. So you cast Creative Technique, you hit, I don't know, Boarding Party, which is a 6/3 with Cascade. You immediately, that's still in the stack, you're cascading. You hit Creative Technique, get it again. You have 2. Your opponent has 1 also. And then maybe you hit a Maelstrom Wanderer. That has double Cascade, and it has a CMC of 8. So maybe you hit 2 different Cascaders off of there, and each one of these is going down. So you're basically just Creative Technique, figuring out where the top of your list is, if it's like 8, you know, 7 or whatever, and then you're cascading down until you hit another Creative Technique, because that's the lowest CMC thing in the deck. And eventually you hit an Emrakul. Or in the fail case, as it were, you just have a shitload of monsters out. And Maelstrom Wanderer actually has text that's relevant as well, aside from having double cascade and costing 8, in that it says creatures you control have haste. So when you do get your Emrakul or whatever, you have immediate ability to attack if you're Maelstrom Wanderer. And if you miss your Emrakul and you just have a bunch of stupid fucking creatures, they all have haste and you get to attack. So really the only thing the deck has a hard time doing is getting to 5 mana and having a Creative Technique in hand as soon as possible. But if you don't have it in hand, any cascade creature will find it.
So just to summarize, if I ramp out literally any card that's not a land in this deck, it starts the chain.
Yes.
Yes. And so you're gonna cascade, right? Like, other than Creative Technique, like, you have to count, the only card you can counter also is Creative Technique, but then they can copy it.
Yeah, it's not a very good thing to counter.
You cascade a spell, and you're like, well, I can't counter the cascade spell, wait to see what happens. And they hit another cascade spell. And so you can't counter that one, you gotta wait to see what they cascade into. You see where I'm going here.
And you so can't you, if really...
You can, if you counter both Creative Techniques, you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's interesting, too, is that I think you get
one, you get your flip before your opponent. Like, sorry, like you're on creative technique, you're demonstrating it. I can't remember if it's like they get one and then you get one, or if so I get one and happened, they get it.
Anthony played this at our local, and I'm like, what happened? How did you fucking lose? Because I just saw him put it on the stack, and I could hear him going creative technique and be like, okay, so it's called demonstrating. Like, this is what happens. And I turn back around and he's shuffling up, and I'm like, did you lose? And he goes, oh yeah, he hit three ball. Good game.
Yeah, I played against Anthony too, and he, I can't remember what he hit, and then I hit Archon of Emyria, and I was like, yep, okay, no more spells. So the deck's sick, but you have to get to like five or six mana like as soon as possible. And there's also like just all of these fucking cascade creatures you've never seen. Notably, also a Warhammer card here, Let the Galaxy Burn.
What is that?
It's X5 red sorcery. Here's the key text, cascade. It deals X plus 2 damage to each creature that didn't enter the battlefield this turn. Not that relevant. It has cascade. That's all that matters. So I know Sean was on this at the last time I went down to an Issaquah 1K, and I don't know what his record was then. Do you know how he turned out this time?
What did he... Just reading his tournament report, he was fucking 4-0.
Also, notably on the tournament report, he's playing 40 lands in this deck. Because all you need is one spell and five mana.
He was 4-0.
Deck's fucked up.
And then he played against round five, was oops all spells. Mm. And he lost. And then round six, he played against the Ruby Storm deck and lost to that as well. So he was 10th place.
Wow.
I know Elliot was saying...
also amazing. The sideboard is 4 Pyrokinesis, 4 Maddening Hex, 2 Boom Pile, 2 Pithing Needles, 2 Ley Lines, 1 Ave.
I know Elliot was unimpressed with Toxicroak. Do you think he could switch to like a different spider, like Sweet Gum Recluse?
Just going further down in his closing thoughts argument, he's actually saying 0 Emrakul might actually be correct.
I don't think it's needed. I think Maelstrom Wanderer does enough.
Yeah, he's saying, to be completely honest, 4 Wanderer, 0 Emrakul is probably correct.
There's a, he links in that report that somebody, I think My Dire Legacy, somebody top 8ed with the same deck, but a little bit of a different build. And they're playing an Apex Devastator, which is a Hydra with Cascade, 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 Cascade. Like, if it, you should, you need to see somebody playing this deck and laying out the stack where you have the creative techniques. There's like the real one and then the copy, and then that goes down through here. But then you hit something that has 2 cascades, and each of those are cascading into other creative techniques where you have extra copies. Like, you do end up with some kind of fucking chart. It's crazy.
This is sweet.
I can't wait until they add creative technique online, because trying to parse this in person is like, even though it's pretty straightforward, it's like I can see just getting like all unruly and stressed. But having it online has some crazy F6 potential.
I saw a guy playing this at Eternal Weekend in a trial, and like I kind of like walked by, I was like looking at the board state, and they were like waiting, and I'm like, oh, this looks weird, and they like stopped, and I'm like, oh, it's the fucking deck. And they're waiting for the judge to come, and his opponent's like, sorry, I just don't. And the guy's like, no, we should get this explained, it's weird. And the guy asks the question, and then the dude he's playing, he's like, you know what, judge, while you're here, can I actually make you, you should explain, demonstrate while you're here. Like,
one stop shop.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to close the yes, no, I think I'm at a yes here. This is a turbo combo deck that's playing maximum soul lands, because you basically want to get to 5 or 6 mana as soon as possible and cast one of your non-land cards in your hand that will have cascade, that is a triggered ability that goes on the stack. and will immediately cascade into another thing that has cascade, or will cascade into
well, it can only technique. Cascade into creative technique, right?
No, actually, like, no. The bigger cascade has to cascade into other cascade
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Wander can cascade into other things, but nothing else can. Exactly. Everything else is yeah, matter, could, right?
Is everything else six? I think there's like a seven in there, but it, you know, you get it.
Wander yeah. is seven, but I and think then everything else is six.
Eventually you end up at creative technique, which has its own like almost pseudo cascade on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a reset, like an unbound cascade.
It copies itself, and therefore it's really hard to interact with, but it also like restarts your chain over again. And ultimately you're going to put all these shitters into play. Well, they're not shitters, they're fucking beefy boys. They're going to have haste, and then you either get an extra turn or they just have haste and you just crash in and win the game.
Yep.
That's yep. a sweet deck.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird.
So I did know that this person was doing something like this last event when I looked over and I saw I think we mentioned this, where it was like a foil minty Sandstone Needle and a foil minty yeah. Hickory Woodlot. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but this person is having fun.
It's also really interesting in that it's a deck that wants to get to, you know, five or six mana as fast as possible, but like it's not allowed to play rituals or like artifact mana.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only way you can do this is off of lands or you fuck up your cascade chain.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. I love it. Okay. Anything else to talk about for the event? You no, guys,
we weren't there. And
you didn't show up, so that was that.
I wanted to drive all the way to the States and back in one day.
It wasn't bad, know, honestly. It was a lot nicer when I didn't have to pick up Jeff, because it's like
it's not that far out of the way.
That like an extra like 10 minutes there and back is like so
feels brutal. Like an eternity.
Yeah. But also writing up my deck list in the morning was pretty bad as well.
You guys know my current thing. I got to be able to like, I'm like, what's around for if I yeah. like, do badly? I need to have like entertainment. No offense to the fine people of Issaquah, which I'm sure is a nice place to like grow up, have a family.
Good dumplings.
They got excellent dumplings.
Like, eat dumplings for like 5 hours?
Or you could go shopping at Trader Joe's and Target and stock up on things.
I don't know how to tell you that a major city has all those things. In addition to other amenities.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, anyway. You know, another Laughing Dragon event. Jeff, you love this abbreviation, MXP.
Ooh.
MXP Oakland.
Oh, me like.
MXP just sounds like you're going to have Kenny Blankenship casting.
Who?
Now that you guys watch MXC. It's Kenny Blankenship, Guy LaDouche. Who was the
Guy
other
LaDouche,
guy?
Guy LaDouche, man.
Yeah.
What is this? What's oh, my God. MXC?
Yeah, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yeah, it's so good.
Also known as Takeshi's Castle.
I always liked when they would dub in the like when
also when they dubbed the Japanese game show, right? This
yeah,
yeah. racist.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I don't think it's not racist. It's
definitely something. But MXP, that's all I think of. So you know, you gotta yeah. play a match of Magic and get smushed in the face with a little, you know, American Gladiator style like pole.
I like the lily pad one. Anyway, so creative technique into yeah. the deck of cards. Very cool. Anyway,
shall we wind it up?
Let's wrap it up. Wind it down.
The price of gas goes up, but the petroleum keeps flowing. McBain, who's gas?
American fuel prices. No, in all seriousness, I want to give a shout out to Jordan, Scott, and Cody, who came down from our local area. Kind of mentioned them at the top of the show, but they are common like frequenters coming out to our weekly event. They have a couple decks each and are always a pleasure to play against. And it was really great to see them out. Yeah. They had a great time. I think they actually went down the night before and like did stuff and showed up a little hungover. I could be wrong though, but they definitely were a little rustier. They all got beat up pretty bad in the main event. So who knows, but there was a lot of spicy brews out there. So maybe they ran into that kind of stuff, but overall, like
gamers after my own heart.
Yeah. Jordan was playing Alluren. Scott was playing Acast. And then Cody was playing this like Smog Jund deck.
Mm.
And with he Loom definitely Apprentice. Just like, yeah. He just definitely smogged people. Like turn two or turn three, just like you're dead. I think he had some helm combos with Leyline. But no, it's just great to see them come down on their own little crew and be part of it. So that was great. Jeff, how about yourself?
I got to shout out something not Magic related. Not too crazy for anybody who's listening, but it'll make me feel good. My sister and her son just in town this week from Australia. He's a baby born in COVID, so I got to meet him today for the first time. And it was very sweet. He said, "Hello, Uncle Jeff. Would you like to watch Bluey with me?" And we sat down and watched some Bluey. And it was a good time. You know, I have a sister that lives pretty close to me, and I see her every, you know, not as often as I should, but every couple weeks we'll have dinner or something. But it felt nice, like old times, the three of us hanging out and just, you know, shooting the shit and talking about stuff. So shout out, in the words of David Guetta, shout out his family.
What's your nephew's name?
Walt.
Oh, I would have called him a Chazwaza.
I was thinking the same thing. He's a COVID.
I tried really Chazwaza. Hard to find a way to like work that in. It was a little awkward. I'm sorry, but it had to be said.
Yeah, as soon as you said he's from Australia and he's a COVID baby, I was like, he's a Chazwaza. I'm glad we're on the same page, Quinn. Jeff, quick question. Before you ended off here, Quinn, I'm pegging you as the middle child, Jeff.
No, youngest. Oh. My sisters are identical twins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like identical, identical?
Like the term identical twins, yeah.
Well,
like,
you know,
technical middle
like...
child, but no middle child syndrome. Wow, my parents really like knocked it out of the park.
How am I technically the middle child?
No, no, no. I'm saying you technically have a middle child in your family, but like essentially no middle child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But like sometimes there's identical twins that just like, you know, dress differently and are quite different.
I mean, they don't dress the same.
They coordinate across the pond. It's really awkward with the time difference.
But sometimes like I know a couple identical twins and there's sometimes like I would just like not be able to identify one of them until they started talking. I'm like, oh, it's this one. Like they're that identical. And that they have like similar fashion and stuff. And they would like have their hair the same.
Yeah, they don't dress the same anymore.
Okay.
It's like, so like crisscross. They both love jumping.
It's funny. My mom tells a story about when she was like, you know, when they were like two, she was like in Safeway or something and pushing them, and some lady's talking to her. And you know, she's like, "Oh yeah, they're twins, right? Identical twins." And he's like, "They don't look identical to me. They're not identical." And it's like, "Okay, you got me. I'm scamming the system.
Fake news."
Yeah,
it's like the real life equivalent when someone tells you your sideboard's bad. You're like, yeah. "Okay, thanks. Like, fuck, stop talking to me." I want to shout out the card Gemstone Cavern. One, because anyone plays Gemstone Cavern, they're fucking up to no good, and I love that. But also, I was adding all the cards into the Creative Technique deck into my cart, which I like, let's be honest, I'll play like one time. And then I got a Gemstone Cavern, which is still $50.
It's $50.
Yeah, it got reprinted in Times Valley Remastered. But then I took all the cards out of my cart. And so I just saved
one in initiative sideboards, and I was like, I should pick one up. $50?
It got reprinted like 2 years ago. But
that card is fucked up.
Save money. Gemstone Cavern, though. Shout out to anyone who registers Gemstone Cavern, because it's just like, what are you doing? Nothing fair.
The amount of times I've played that card and been like, you just draw it when you're on the draw. Two things happen. Either I misread the part where you have to be on the draw, or I misread the part where you also have to pitch a card. And I'm just like, oh, put it in play. Let's go. And it's like, there's another action.
Yeah, you got to take. Do another thing.
I'm pretty sure we have to ban you for life for cheating, actually.
Damn it.
I think that's the conclusion. Wow. So Jensen Cameron is $50, but it's also $5 because it just saved you $45.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, we're going in a circle here. We'll see how this goes. I do have a lot of credit. I just sold a bunch of cards. I was going to buy something like, you know, like a dual land, but maybe I should just buy Creative Techniques.
Quinn, you don't have to tell the listeners that it's from selling cards if you have credit. It's kind of obvious how you got the credit because you didn't get it from winning.
I had like $80 from like winning.
I'm surprising you.
I furrowed the week that I beat you on the deck you played for like 5 years in the mirror match, just putting that out there.
This is true.
That was about $40, I think. Jeff hates this. He's just like, no, stop fighting.
Mom and dad are fighting. All right, sign us off, Quinn.
If you made it this far, through, I feel like everyone must have stopped it like right there, being like, what the fuck is happening after that gas? We should edit. What's a different positive that we can end on? We just talk shit to each other.
I mean, that's the
fun. What else is good?
I don't know, man.
Demonstrate?
That's like, old news. So then old I hat. Have to do one, then you have to do one, then I have to do another one?
Yeah, and then we cascade into one.
All right, thanks for listening. See you on the thresholds.
You gotta cut that.
It's 50 bucks.